Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me,
how I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I pray that we all will start this New Year's right. Start it off with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we are supposed to be the light of this world. So let all of us this year make sure that our light is shining, and that light being Jesus. All right, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we get into your word this morning, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us a greater understanding, Father, and to make sure that we receive the truth of your word. Now keep us according to your way and your will. And we ask this all in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, we're going to get Brother Dennis up here to let us know what the Lord has laid on his heart this morning.
Now I'm gonna have to go back to your voice.
Good morning, everyone. All right. This morning I'm gonna do something just a little bit different than what we normally do. But it's gonna be, it's gonna be a carry on from what we was talking about on Thursday night whenever we was all together. I want to talk about idolatry and idols. And the reason I want to do that is because idolatry is generally what keeps us away from God, away from church, away from prayer, away from the Bible. So we're going to be doing a lot of bouncing around today. I've got a lot of notes. I'm not going to read off the notes. I'm just going to take the notes to go to the particular places in the Bible because I couldn't remember them all. But in the grand scheme of things, idolatry is what we're going to be talking about today. And what most people don't realize is it's the biggest idol out there, the one that you see on a daily basis. And by the way, before we even get started with this, idolatry is something, whether we want to admit it or not, is something that we're all guilty of. Every single one of us is guilty of it. Maybe not as much now for some of us as we were. Some of us are getting worse at it on a daily basis, but I know I can speak for myself. I've gotten a heck of a lot better with it. And then you'll understand when I say better, because once we go through all the different things that are considered idolatry, you'll understand what I mean by getting better, because we're all, every single one of us, are truly guilty at some point, whether we realize it or not, of idolatry. I'd say the biggest idolater, or the biggest idol, as it were, that you'll ever see is the one when you stand in front of the mirror, just straight up. That's the biggest idol out there, because you're always putting yourself above, you know. You're grooming yourself. Not that there's anything wrong with grooming yourself, but there are some people that go to the extremes with grooming themselves. You know, they got to look better than everybody else. They got to have the better clothes than everybody else. So they're putting themselves above and beyond what they should be. So let's start off today in Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to do a lot of skipping around, but we're going to start off with Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to be reading verses 3 through 5. Actually, we'll start with verse 2. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is in your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil consciousness, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which these things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. So it tells you right there the things you need to stay away from, but then it tells you the covetousness is idolatry in and of itself. And then it goes on to tell you the wrath of God will come down on those who do these things, which covetousness is, which is idolatry. So idolatry, in a nutshell, is anything that you put above God. It don't matter what it is. It could be your wife. It could be your child. It could be you yourself. It could be your job. It could be money. It's anything that you literally put above God. Anything that takes away the time that you're spending with God is considered an idol. It don't matter what it is. If we discussed some time back that you should not only give 10% of your earnings to God, but you should also give 10% of your time to God. So that's 2.5 hours a day that you should be spending with God each and every day. That's your tithe to God. That's what you're supposed to be doing, giving him your time each and every day. So if you're not spending, and that's just 10% of your time, he's giving you the other 90% to carry on with life. So if you're not spending that 10%, and whatever is taken away from that 10%, that's idolatry. That's an idol, because you're putting more emphasis on whatever that is than what you should be putting in with God. So whether it be your job, if your job's keeping you from it, might need to look at something else. If you're, I've got a real good friend, love him to death. He believes in God and everything, but you cannot convince him that he has literally made his child an idol. He won't believe it. He has. He's everything in this world revolves around that child. And I'm not saying that your children shouldn't be the center of your world, but they shouldn't be number one. God should be number one. the child should be number two maybe, but not number one. But he literally, everything in this guy's world revolves around that child. And as a result, I hate to say it, but he's probably one of the biggest brats I've ever seen in my life, too. But that's neither here nor there. I'm just saying, don't let anything come in between you and God. Everything that's out there is secondary to God, whether it be yourself, whether it be your wife, your child, your job. I got six things that I wrote down that most people, for the pastor and for you, James, these things may not have been that big of a deal, but with a society as it is today, you'll notice how people are kind of moving into these six things. And there's a whole lot more, don't get me wrong. There's a heck of a lot more than these six. But these are the six that just popped in my mind as the top six is that I think for today's generation is what's keeping them away from God. Okay? Their own identity. Like I say, they're looking in the mirror all the time. They're trying to impress somebody, trying to do whatever it takes to impress somebody else. Whether it be, they may even be trying to impress themselves, I don't know. But you always see them, they're always taking selfies. They're always, you know, every time that they go take a poop, they got to get on Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is, and you got to let everybody know that everything came out all right. I mean, it's unreal, some of the things these people are doing these days. The next thing is money and or consumerism. Consumerism, I would say, more so than money, but they're kind of tied together there. It's all about the almighty dollar. I don't care what it is in this world today. It's all about the almighty dollar. You will see people, matter of fact, we just had Christmas. Okay. How many people just put themselves in more debt than they're ever going to get out of for one day? Why? What's the point behind it? Well, they got to impress not only themselves, they got to impress their kids or their family or, you know, the Joneses next door. They're always out to impress somebody. I personally don't believe in Christmas. That's just my own personal belief. But even if I was to go and fall into the Christmas line, it wouldn't be about consumerism. It would be for what they say it's supposed to be for, which was the birth of Christ and for God. That's, if you're going to do it at all, at least keep it in lines with what they say it's intended for. Okay. The next thing is entertainment. You got all these movie stars and all these rap artists and all these musicians and everything else. Matter of fact, they had a show on TV, American Idol. I mean, if that don't tell you something in and of itself, I don't know what will. They're idolizing all these people. They're putting them up on a pedestal. A lot of times they put them up on a pedestal that they can't even get to, let alone maintain. You know, they're going to fall, because when you put somebody up too high, they're going to fall, and they're putting all their trust, and every word they say is golden, and it don't matter what it is, well, if they say it, that's the gospel, and it could be, you know, go blow your brains out, and I guarantee you somebody would do it. There's no doubt in my mind, because they absolutely do everything these people tell them to do, and I don't understand it, but that's just the way it is. Everything is centered around that. Another thing that's going on today, and this is actually terribly, terrible bad, and that's sex. Whether it be, you know, just going out there and sleeping with somebody for a one-night stand, or whether it's homosexuality, or, you know, the 9 million genders that we got going on out there, or whatever. Sex as a general rule is a big thing. It's literally has turned into an idol in and of itself. Just sex as a general rule has literally turned into an idol. Another thing is comfort. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with being comfortable, but You know, Christ told us himself, we will go through trials and tribulations. He said, pick up your cross and follow him. That in and of itself tells you that you're going to have a rough life. It's not going to be, you know, all beds of roses out there. So they're putting more emphasis on comfort than they are, you know. I guarantee you that there's somebody that would have been here today that decided they weren't going to come because it's, you know, 30 degrees outside. I guarantee you there is. There's no doubt in my mind that that was their fault behind not coming to church today is because it's 30 degrees outside. I might get cold for that, you know, 2-minute walk to my car. The next thing that, and like I say, this is not an inclusive list. This is just some of the, literally 5 minutes before I walked in here, I wrote this down. Phones, okay? Like I say, you two may not fall into this particular category as much as the younger generations, but you cannot go anywhere without seeing somebody with their head stuck in that phone. You absolutely cannot do it. They have literally let that phone take over their lives. It has become an idol to them. I guarantee you, there's no doubt in my mind there would be total and mass chaos in this world if all phone service died for 1 hour. There's no doubt in my mind. It would just come to a screeching halt. So those are just a couple of the things that I wanted to point out to you that we're using as idols. And a few other things, you know, being as we're in church, let's talk about some of the things that the church or people that go to church or follow, you know, or at least try to follow the ways of the church, there's idols there as well. Tons of them, particularly if you're Catholic, you see them all over the place. I mean, you can't move without seeing an idol inside the Catholic church. But as the pastor was saying on Thursday, a lot of people make this cross into an idol. You know, they truly do. You'll see some people that'll literally make this book right here, the Holy Bible, make that into an idol. It's not the book, it's what's in the book. It's what it's teaching you. It's what it's telling you about the Father and the Son. Don't let the book be your idol. Another thing before I go into the next little section here, like I say, I've got several different points because I'm just going to talk about one subject instead of, you know, a chapter. Another thing that I wanted to point out, and I've said this many times, and I know the pastor said it a couple times himself, you can't only read the Bible, you have to study it. In order to study the Bible, you need to be able to correlate the New Testament or the New Covenant with the Old Testament and the Old Covenant. You've got to be able to, because they're one, they're meshed together. That's why it's called the Holy Bible. They're literally one. Okay? There's a lot. Matter of fact, you know, the Old Testament takes up almost 3/4 of the Bible anyway. There's a lot of information that's in the Old Testament telling us how to live in the New Testament. Matter of fact, if you pay real close attention, Paul was real good about pulling verses out of the Old Testament. Christ definitely pulled verses out of the Old Testament. John pulled several out of the Old Testament. Matter of fact, if you take and read Revelations, a good part of Revelations, is almost word for word what it said in the Old Testament. So you have to take the old, combine it with the new, and then you get a big picture, because the way the Bible was written is written in progressive revelation. It tells you here what you're supposed to do, and then as time progresses, it gets more and more in depth, and by the time you get to the end, you should have a full understanding of it. So, and there's a lot of churches out there today that only look at the New Testament. And I say, while looking at the New Testament is good, you don't get the full scope, the full benefit of what you're saying if you don't go back to the Old Testament to get a fuller understanding. So with that being said, we're going to go to Exodus 20. We're going to start off with, we'll just start off with verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children until the third and fourth generation, and of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. That's basically two little things right there that's telling you straight up, no idols. No idols. It says don't make anything that's above the earth. Nothing that's in heaven. Like when you drive around, particularly around here, I say where I'm from, but it's hit a lot. But around here, you can drive around and you'll see little statues of the Virgin Mary in people's front yard. You'll see angels and stuff. It plainly states right there, don't do that. And again, that's a graven image. You're not supposed to worship graven images. And like the pastor was saying last Thursday, you know, there's a lot of people out there, whether knowingly or unknowingly, and that's why we do these things, why we talk about these things, so you know that you're doing wrong. It's not condemning you. It's letting you know that you are doing something wrong. You're not supposed to have all these graven images out there. You're not supposed to worship those images. You're not supposed to put anything above God. Everything out there that you put before God is wrong. As we've seen by the other thing, it actually tells you that they're idols. And you know, it said that when it was in Corinthians or Colossians a while ago, it said that covetousness was idolatry. What is covetousness anyway? Covetousness is wanting what somebody else has. It's actually just wanting what you don't have, if you want to know the truth of the matter. It's wanting anything on this earth that you don't need to be having anyway. I want a new car. Well, I'm coveting your car. Pastor just bought a new car. I like that car. I think I'm going to go out and buy one. I just coveted his car. You know, that's covetousness. You don't need to do that. You need to be satisfied with what you have. Be satisfied with what God gives you. You know, my father, which I think, you know, everybody thinks their father is the smartest, but or the best man on the planet. But my father told me something when I was a kid, and it took a while for it to dig in, particularly when you're a kid and you see, you know, the kid next door get a brand new bicycle or something like that. You just got to have one too. And he explained to me, and I know he got it out of the Bible. He kind of turned the words around, but you know, I know that's where it came from. He told me that happiness is not getting what you want, but happiness is wanting what you have. And that's the truth. That's true happiness. And if you have God, that's all you need. That's truly all you need. So now we're going to go to Jonah. Find it here. It's kind of small. It's hard to find sometimes. Okay. I'm going to read to you from chapter 2. Let Going to start with verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed salvation is of the Lord. If you stop and think about what that just said right there, it speaks in volumes. Volumes, it truly does. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. In other words, not in today's world, but in the new covenant, in essence, what that's saying is, to put it in layman's terms, those that observe idols are pretty much giving up their grace. That's literally what it's saying. They that observe lying vanities or idols forsake their own mercy. And that's what we know grace is. That's the mercy of God. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed salvation is of the Lord. And it is. That's where we get our salvation from. Go back to Ezekiel real quick, Ezekiel 8. I hope when I'm putting all these things together, you can get a bigger understanding of what I was talking about with idolatry. Ezekiel 8, let's see here. All right, we're going to start with verse 17. Now, honestly, we could spend the rest of the time here and probably a lot more if we talked about this whole chapter. Chapter 8 is actually, whole chapter is dealing with idolatry in and of itself. It's actually a real good chapter in Ezekiel. But we're going to start with 17. And know without reading the whole thing that it's literally talking about idolatry. Then he said unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a like thing that the house of Judah, which they commit the abominations which they commit here, for they have filled the land with violence. See that going on now. And have returned to provoke me with anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Let's read that again. Therefore will I also deal in my fury, wrath, anger. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears, in other words, they're praying to him, with a loud voice, yet I will not hear him. The pastor has mentioned many, many times about all the different things that keep your prayers from getting to heaven. Well, we just found one more, idolatry. If you're an idolater, it says right there that the God's not going to hear your prayers. It's not going to listen to you. I will not hear them. So that puts a little bit more emphasis on another reason why we need to back away from all this idolatry, but all of our trust and faith in God, because that's truly all we need. That's truly all we need. And I say that with what's coming upon us, and I don't think it's going to be that too much far off personally, but it's fixing to get bad. It truly is. It's fixing to get bad. We got the great reset that's fixing to happen. And for those of y'all that don't know what the Great Reset is, that's when the world economy is going to collapse. Whenever it collapses, and we know right now all it's got to do, all it's got to take is just one of them rich billionaires to say something, and then all of a sudden the economy's gone. I mean, it's literally that simple. So it could happen. It could happen today. And whenever that happens, you know, it's going to turn bad, okay? And that ain't even the bad part. That's just going to be the financial bad part of it. You know, things are going to get real expensive. You might lose your house. You're going to be standing in soup lines like they did in the 30s. And I mean, it's going to get bad on that front. But then coming out of that is going to be, you know, Mr. Babylon, which is personally, I think, is going to be the United Nations taking over for the whole world. You know, and by the way, not to get off on a whole nother subject, but, you know, when you read Daniel, it tells us, you know, that there are 10 horns. Did you know? And you, I challenge, as a matter of fact, I recommend that you actually do the research on this, because I have. The United Nations right now has got the world set up into 10 regions. And of those 10 regions, one guy that's going to be in charge of each region. There's your 10 kings, there's your 10 horns, and this is all part of the United Nations. And something else that you may or may not know, and I challenge you to research this as well. 2023 may happen a little bit before, a little bit after, but it's stated, wrote down on paper, signed, marked, blocked, and done up by every one of the members of the United Nations. All the key leaders have signed off on this. 2023 is when all that stuff is supposed to go into effect. So there's your Mr. Babylon right there, literally. Now, again, I don't want to get into to a whole other subject here, but you know, you got Mr. Babylon, and out of Mr. Babylon, the one world government, which would be the, you know, Mr. Babylon there, out of that is where the beast empire comes out of, because that's the little horn. It comes out of that one. So a lot of people think that the one world government is the beast empire. It's not. It comes out of the one world government. But I digress. We'll move on to something else. Getting back to where we was at. All right, so while we're in the Old Testament, let's go to Ecclesiastes. Find that here, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and we'll go with verses 21 through 23. For there is a man. Now let's go with, start with verse 20. Now let's go with verse 19. I like to start a little further back a little better. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet he shall have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore, I went about to the cause of my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to the man that hath no labor therein shall he leave it for his portion. This is also vanity and great evil. For what hath a man of all his labor and the vexation of his heart wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days and sorrows and for all his travail and grief, yea, his heart taketh not rest in night. This is also vanity. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. It's also, I saw that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat and who else can hasten hereupon there hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in the sight of wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. That gets back again to the idolatry part of work. You know, if you're putting your work above God, then you're spinning your wheels. You're doing it for naught. You're gaining nothing out of it. Matter of fact, it even says right there, you don't even get a good night's sleep whenever you do that. You don't get any rest. Your soul certainly don't get any rest, or your spirit don't get any rest. You're always thinking about the work. You're always, that's the most important thing to you. You're putting that above. I know this one because I was severely guilty of this one probably 90% of my life. Always putting work above everything. I put work above God. I put work above my family. I put work above everything. That was just the center of my life. That was my idol. Do that now, but it was a terrible thing. You couldn't get me. I was always at work, always. I was spending 18, 19 hours a day, every day at work. And I'm talking 7 days a week. That was just the center of my life. And that wasn't a good thing. I lost a lot because of that. All right, so now let's go to 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry about bouncing around, but I'd say in order to get the full understanding of both what the old and the new says, we've got to do it this way. So 1 Corinthians 10, if I can find it here. All right, so let's back up here. Let's go to verse 17. We'll see how far we go from that. For we, being many, are one. One bread, one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, we are not they which eat of sacrifices, partakers of the altar. What I say then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to an idol is anything. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the tables of the devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Well, absolutely we're not stronger than he. And it's telling us there, we don't want to do that. Now, you say to yourself, well, they're not out there sacrificing the idols and doing this, that, and the other whenever they do that. I'd say that as a whole, they're probably not out there sacrificing to idols yet. But remember what's coming upon us. And that's the reason I read this one section right here. We're fixing to come in to the one world government, the beast empire. All that stuff's coming to us. And we know that part of that whole thing is going to be the mark of the beast. It says you can't buy or sell without the mark. Okay. And long before even the mark comes about, you're still going to have the famines and all that other stuff. Okay. People's going to be killing for food. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. They will be killing for food. They will kill you for your food. People do strange things whenever they're hungry. Okay. That's why I read that. You need, that's why it's important. It's vitally important now, while we still have the time, to build your faith in God, to strengthen that faith, to know, with absolute certainty that you're going to be taken care of. That don't mean that you're going to have a three-course steak dinner every day. That's not what God said. He's going to keep you alive. He's going to make sure you have enough food to stay alive. We got the Egyptians, not the Egyptians, but we got the Israelites whenever they came out of Egypt as proof of how he's going to take care of us. He dropped manna from the sky. I'm not real sure what manna truly is, but, you know, it may have been, I don't know what it was, but it kept the Egyptians or the Israelites alive for 40 years while they were in the desert. That was pretty much the only food that they had, and it kept them alive. Yeah, after a time they got tired of eating and they moaned and groaned about it, but we see what the moaning and groaning got them to. But they did stay alive, you know. You're not going to have a T-bone steak every day. It may just be some crumbs that you find, but he's going to keep you alive. That's all he's promising you, that you'll have enough nourishment to stay alive. That don't mean you're not going to have hunger pains. That's not what God said. And that's where the big misconception, I think, with a lot of people is, that they think they're, you know, God's going to take care of them with all these great, marvelous things. That's what all these false teachers and stuff out there are doing to people, by saying, you know, you can be a millionaire and you can have all these wonderful blessings and all this stuff. The blessing that he's given you is life, to live through it. That's the blessing. We got to remember, pick up your cross and follow me. There will be trials and tribulations. He's telling you up front. They persecute you or persecute you, know that they persecuted me first. We see he had a rough life. And if he had a rough life, we're going to have a rough life. It's expected of us. It builds character. And that's the thing that people don't understand. What don't kill you makes you stronger. And that's very true with what God's saying here. You got to build yourself up, build that faith up, build that trust up, and understand, you truly have to understand, yes, you're going to be hungry. Yeah, you're going to be persecuted. You may even be put in jail. You may be beheaded. But you live on. You got to know what's coming after the fact and be happy about it. Don't be moaning and crying whenever they take you to the guillotine to chop your head off. Look at them and smile and say, you just did me a favor. I don't have to be hungry no more. I'm living now. This is a great thing for me. You know, I'm happy. Woo-hoo. You know, because it truly will be. It's a marvelous, wonderful thing. Because this book right here, and God said, those that die for him are blessed. It says that. We will be blessed. You know, I'm not going to get into it, but just know that it's not a bad thing. It's truly not. It's a wonderful thing to go through these trials and tribulations. You may not think so at the moment. You may think, oh, my Lord, I'm hurting. I'm hungry. My kids are hungry. Put your faith in God. Pray to him. Have trust and faith. You may not have a loaf of bread today, but who knows, you may have two tomorrow. And when you get those two tomorrow, your neighbor that's also hungry, make sure you share it with them, because that's all part of it. That's why you're supposed to give, you know, give to receive. So give your neighbor, you know, at least half a loaf or whatever it is that you got. Give them part of it. That way they're not starving as well. Let's see. So I'm sorry I've taken a little bit longer. Let's go to 1 John. Let's see here. I'm going to find this real quick. First John 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And that really right there sums it all up. It really does. Don't let, and that goes back to those six things I was telling you about at the beginning, the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh. Those are all, you can all consider all those things idolatry or idolatrous things to do. Anything. And it's like I say, it don't matter what it is, anything that keeps you away from God, spending, you know, those two and a half hours a day that you are supposed to spend with him in prayer and study, anything that takes you away from God is considered an idol. And because it's an idol, we done seen that you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it by not having your prayers heard. You're going to pay for it by living through some wrath. He's going to punish you for those things. And in the grand scheme of things, you could lose your grace. You could lose your salvation, lose your opportunity to go to heaven. Okay? Idolatry is not a small thing. It's truly not. One of the big things, like I say, it's mentioned twice. Mentioned twice in the Ten Commandments. So, that, and then actually it's mentioned more than that, because if you bring in covetousness, it's mentioned several times down there. And Paul showed us that covetousness is idolatry as well. So it's mentioned several times in the Ten Commandments. So that's, it's no light thing. It's one of the things, well, it said that it made God jealous. If you're putting another God in front of him, and when I say another God, if this phone is your idol, now it's your God. That's what you're worshiping. You're not worshiping the Father above. You're worshiping this. You're spending all your time with this phone. Okay? And a lot of people have a hard time wrapping their head around that, but it's plain. This way is, I kind of broke it down the way I did. And I could go on for probably another hour, but we're already at time to close. Just understand that, like I said, Spend your time with God wisely. Make sure that you don't let anything come between you and God, whether it be the weather, whether it be your phone, whether it be your kids, your wife, your job, the list could go on. They could all be considered idols, and we've done seen that an idol can send you straight to hell. Spend your time with God, because he is a jealous God. And, you know, people say, well, that's the Old Testament God. Well, I got news for you. There is no Old Testament God and New Testament God. There's one. He's the same before, now, and forevermore. Never changes. And that's a whole other topic in and of itself. If you spend days just on that one little thing right there, where, you know, where people say, you know, there's an Old Testament God and a New Testament God. No, there's not. Well, like I say, I'm not going to get into that, because we could literally spend days on that one. So I'm going to close with that. Just make sure if you do spend your time wisely, you spend your time in the Bible, you spend your time in prayer and supplication, and understand, because we've said it up here before, you're supposed to tithe your time with God, okay? 10% of your time you're supposed to spend with God. And whether that be reading the book, whether that be being in prayer. Personally, I do a lot of driving. I'm talking all the time to God. I am. People look at me like I'm a freaking nut, because I'm sitting there, you know, talking, and there ain't nobody in the truck with me. But that's who I'm talking to. I'm talking to the Father and the Son. And believe it or not, I do my best communicating when I'm driving. It's just me. It's kind of like my little closet. You know, everybody's supposed to have a closet they can go in and pray and not have any distractions. Well, that's my closet because I do a lot of driving. And I'm sure Pastor Kenny, that's probably his closet as well, particularly being as he's a truck driver. He spends a lot of time talking to God while he's driving. I'm sure of that. So it's just find that little place, that little niche in your life where you can spend that time without any distractions, without anything going on that you can spend time with him. And also read and study. Study is the key word. Study your Bible. Read it, then study it. And everybody have a blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Dennis. All right. You know, there are some things that we need to do today that a lot of us has forgotten about. And we need to stand together. We need to pray not only for each other, but with each other. You know, the Word tells us, he says, where two or three of you agree on earth. There's more power when we stand together and ask God for something than when we ask him about ourselves. And when we're praying for others, we need to come together. That's why the fifth chapter of James tells us there, is any sick among you, call for who? The elders, not one, the elders of the church, and let them know it with all, and pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So when these two or three of us comes together, there's more power of God there with us. We'll find that things will work a whole lot better than when we try to do it individually and on our own. Now, yes, we do pray on our own. And I'm like you. I do love my talking to him when I'm on the road, which is quite a bit here lately. I'm on the road every day. 7 hours every day, and I talk to God. But I also know that there are times that we in the church need to come together for prayer. And we need to keep praying together, and we need to keep praying for the same thing. And right now, we need to be praying for this church. I don't want to see this church close. That's not what I'm wanting to see. So I am asking all of you to agree with me in prayer and keep this church in your prayers, in agreement with me, that this church will build and that we can reach out to others around about us. And as I just mentioned a little earlier, to let our light shine. We are told in God's word that we are the light of the world. Well, light that don't shine ain't no good, is it? You turn these lights off and here it gets dark. That's the same way with our light. We turn our lights off and we're not using our light. Things around us are going to get dark. And we're not helping anyone that way. We need for people to look at us and see the Lord Jesus Christ and see him at work and want what we have. And we'll find a whole lot more. We'll find the Lord Jesus out here than the way things are going. Because just as you were talking about earlier, things are going to get worse. And it ain't that far off. It's growing a little worse every day. But things are going to get really bad. And very shortly, a lot in this, within the sound of my voice, is going to see it. I don't know whether I will or not. None of us do. But there are going to be a lot of them out here that is in within the sound of my voice that will. I know they'll see it. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close out your word for this morning, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit and your saints, wherever they are in the world, Father. May the Holy Spirit keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And for Israel and Jerusalem, Father, we know because your word tells us that we are to pray for peace for them. They are your chosen people. They turned their back upon you and walked away. But we know, Father, you still love them just as you love us. And we know, Father, that our land has turned its back upon you, taking Jesus out of every place he was ever in. Now, Father, help us to turn things and bring things in line according to your word, according to your will and your way. And Israel and Jerusalem, not only to have peace, but Father, that they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this land of ours, Father, help us to replace those in office that are against the church, against the Lord Jesus Christ, and to replace them, Father, with ones that will work for the church and for Jesus. And help us to put this nation and its government back upon the foundation in which our government was established, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, our prayer list, as each name is called, may the Holy Spirit work with them and help them, Father, to grow stronger, to grow better, to grow in faith. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden, his wife, Tina, for the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father, these all, Father, they are those that love the Lord Jesus Christ. Help them to grow strong in faith and to walk stronger in the Spirit. Pastor Smalls, the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, in that little full gospel church of God there at Ekron. Father, these churches, make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. And not only lighthouses, but places of refuge, Father, to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. These pastors, Father, I pray that each one of them are walking close enough and in truth to where they can be filled overflowing with the Holy Spirit to keep the churches upon the pathway of righteousness. Now, Father, for my three pastor friends overseas, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, keep them safe, Father. They walk on dangerous ground. Be with them. For the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Taylor family, for my family, my wife's family, Father, and for each family that will hear this message. Father, we pray that none be lost and that the Holy Spirit can work with those that are walking in darkness in our families and turn them from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus. Now, Father, Jimmy Emery, Sharon Monville and her mother, Sue and David, for Kelly Smith, Father and Karen. These all stand in need of thy healing hand to touch them in their lives, Father, to bring about the healing that is needed. Father, we lift them all up now. Put them in your hands, because we know, Father, there is no better place for them. Now be with us throughout the remainder of this day, Father. Walk with us, guide us, bring us back together this evening at 6 p.m. And until then, we love you, we thank you, and we praise your holy name. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, everyone. Hold on to God, he'll hold on to you. So until 6 p.m. this evening, 5 this evening, I'm sorry. I keep getting where I've moved it mixed up. But at 5 this evening, Eastern time, we can all be together again. So until then, have a great day. Bye-bye.